The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with us, not wanting any one of us to suffer or to perish. But he wants everyone to come to repentance. The Lord is not slow in his promises, as some describe slowness. Instead, he is patient with us. He is patient with us. He's impatient with you. So there's promises over your lives that God wants to fulfill, and he's patient with you. So that means that we have to be in time with him to fulfill the promises God's got in our lives, so that we don't perish. And one of the promises that God has spoken over the world is that Jesus is coming to save. And he wants everyone to come to know him so they do not perish, but they come to repentance. Now, repentance is an amazing gift. As a young person, I hated repentance because I had to own up that I was wrong. And I hate owning up when I'm wrong. I try to camp myself in pride, and then I build this wall up that says, no, I am right still. And then everyone tells you you're not right, and then that irritates you even more. And then you have to surrender to wisdom and conviction and Karen's knowledge. And then you repent. And when you repent, it's absolutely the best thing in the world. When you just say, yeah, I made a mistake, and then you own up to it and say, I made a mistake. And you go that to God and say, Lord, I repent. The Father just picks us up and pulls us into his chest and says, why were you worrying so much? Why were you so concerned about what I was going to respond to? Because my heart for you is love. Now, as people living in a church, and we have people who are on a journey, and none of us are perfect, sometimes we can be scared to show vulnerability. Because we think, if I show you my vulnerability, I don't know how you're going to respond to me. So that's why you should never put people like me on a pedestal. Don't do that. I'll get upset with you. I don't like being put on a pedestal, and I definitely don't like being taken off one. So don't put me on one. And we can't put anyone else on a pedestal either. And I mean that sincerely. If God's going to move in power, and he is going to move in power in this place, we have got to be able to love each other with whatever gift God gives them to edify the church and to communicate his love to the world. Is that okay? So that's my intro, really. But God isn't slow at keeping his promises. And today is about talking about God's promises. I think my glasses are clean now. And I really want you to get to understand, it's amazing this time of year when we talk about Christmas and we talk about Jesus coming to earth and we talk about the Christmas story and we talk about how it all panned out. There is 322 Masonic prophecies about Jesus. So Masonic prophecies are basically prophecies about the Anointed One, about the Savior. And there's 322 prophecies. And Jesus fulfilled them all. One man, and these prophecies were spoken 1,700 years before that Jesus arrived on the planet. Now, if you know your Bible, it's got 66 books in it. The first half is called the Old Testament, yeah? And it starts with Genesis and it ends with Malachi. Then you've got a gap in the middle, about 400 years, where God doesn't seem to say much. And then you've got from Matthew to Revelation. There's 39 books in the Old Testament, and there's 27 in the New, which makes 66. That's bright, isn't it? Yep, cool. And so there's these prophets that gave these prophecies over to about Jesus. And they prophesied these things. They prophesied how he was going to be born, where he was going to be born, how he was going to live his life, what he was going to say, who he was going to meet, how he was going to die, what was going to happen when he was dying, how, even to the point that how many pieces of silver they were going to betray him with, what people were going to say when he was on the cross, how he responded, even his resurrection or his death and burial was predicted that he'll be buried in a rich man's tomb. 322 prophecies. Even in Psalms, it talks about him being, his hands being pierced and his feet being pierced. Crucifixion had not been invented 1,000 years beforehand. You've got Isaiah talking about who he was. I love this about Isaiah. I'm going to read it out. And this is absolutely beautiful. Isaiah is a prophet in the Old Testament. And 700 years before Jesus arrived on the planet, Isaiah says this: "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God." He will be called Wonderful Counselor. He will be called Almighty God. He's a Jew. Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. And his greatness and government and peace over all the ends. And he'll reign over David's throne and his kingdom forever. I don't know how Isaiah got away with that. Because he's saying about a child will be born. And he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. So I'm not very good at maths, and maths doesn't mean much to me. I don't know if Sue's in the room because she does maths. And apparently the probability of one person fulfilling all those prophecies is 1/84 with 100 noughts. That's ridiculous. I mean, come on, that is mad. But it doesn't make much sense to me. I have to see it visually. So I don't know if anyone could help me. Could you help me, Lou, move the table for me? Maggie, could you help me for a sec? Okay, she might, okay, wait, no, fine. I'll put it there. Right. So, Paul, when, thank you, Lou. Paul, so when my credit card slip comes in and it says barbecue skewers for Sunday morning, this is what it's for. Paul has quite interesting receipts from me, and he says, "Was they for Sunday morning?" I went, "Yeah, they were." Right. So 300. That's 100. That's 200. That's 300. And that's 22. That's like saying, not only each one of these is a prophecy about Jesus, that, and I'm going to like this bit, that they were spoken out and they were going to fall like that. And they were predicted it's going to fall like that. And it was going to happen that way. That's the probability bit that I can't get my head round. These numbers make no sense to me. But there were 322 prophecies about Jesus, and they just basically fell out, and Jesus managed to fulfill every single one of them. That is brain bending. I want you to keep that part here. That's God's prophecies about his son coming into the world that you may be saved. And that's evidence that that stuff took place. And if you read through all the prophecies, you're thinking, Jesus, how on earth, how can people not know it's you? But I want to keep that bit there. You right there, Lou? Oh, that's cool, isn't it? It's a cross. Lou's just spotted a cross on the floor there. Love it. But let's take that analogy, right? There's a cross on the floor. For people listening online, I've just got rid of all my barbecue sticks and they've fallen on the floor in an amazing pattern, and one of them has landed in a cross. Now, there's a guy called Louis Giglio who talked about laminin. And the Bible talks about Christ holding us together. And laminin is the rebar of the human body. It's a helicosian molecule? Cell-adhesion molecule that brings your body together, keeps your membranes together, and it looks like a cross. Just a thing. If you're looking for it, you'll find it. Just a thing. But that's that. In the Western society, in Western culture, as a Christian, most people believe that being a Christian is about going to heaven. So in most Western mindsets, being a Christian equals having a relationship with God, but primarily it means you're going to have eternal life and go to heaven. But when Jesus spoke the words about following him, it wasn't that way around. It was, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't think you realise that the prayer that Jesus prayed was revolutionary. First of all, he's telling us to pray to God as Father, which is huge. In the Jewish culture, you pray to God as creator of the universe. And he is, and he hasn't changed about that. But Jesus brought it straight in to say, no, call him Father. Now that comes with a lot of problems, because if your dad wasn't very good, you're going to have an issue with calling him Father. But God can bring healing to that. And then it says, your kingdom come, because Jesus is a king, right? And your will be done on earth. As Christians, our prime job isn't to go to heaven. That's a blessing. God's got work for us to do, it says in Ephesians 2:10, where we are God's masterpiece to create in Christ Jesus to do good works. God's got a masterpiece for every single one of us. He's got works for us to do, and we're his masterpiece. So our purpose isn't to go to heaven, even though it's a blessing. Our purpose is to have God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Use me. And my passion is for you to know two things. One, God intentionally called you to have a relationship with him. And he's called you to partnership with him in revealing his glory upon the earth. So I want you to think about the promises God has said to you. And if you don't know if you've got a promise from God, let us know, because we can pray. Because there's a promise over your life that God says, I'm patient. I am patient with you. I want a partnership with you. And you can't say, oh, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm too busy, or I've got too much on my plate. Then you say, God, will you please? Oh, my mind doesn't work properly. Or I haven't got enough finances. Or I'm disabled. Or I've got a stutter. Just FYI, Moses had a stutter, they think. And they think that Peter was dyslexic or wasn't educated. Some people were too young. Others looked at themselves and thought, who am I? Identity is really important. And I want to talk about identity in a minute. So we've got promises here. God's promise that he'll come. He's got a commission over here. God says, if you're a Christian, I've got promises for you to fulfill. And he's patient for you. Identity is a really big thing. And I believe in this next season, next time of our church development, our identity is going to come up front and personal, because we need to know who we are. We need to know whose we are, and we need to know who we are. And unless we know whose we are, we're not going to know who we are. And I want to just talk about that slightly. Jesus had this amazing way, and the Bible has amazing ways of just restructuring our thinking of who we are. Abraham was called a friend of God. King David was a man after God's own heart. He failed pretty big, but God still said he's a man after my own heart. He was a shepherd, and he was a worshipper, and he was a king. Gideon was a man of valor, even though when they told him man of valor, which means a warrior, he's like, who are you talking to? You're talking to me? I'm scaredy cat. I'm indignant, and I hate the fact that our food's getting stolen by these horrible people, but you want to use me? Sorry, but Jesus speaks into who he is and changes his identity. And Jesus, you need to hear what the Holy Spirit and what Jesus is saying to you about your identity, because it's from that identity you work from. You do not work from the identity that you have that's broken. I struggle with this. I have bad mental health for that. I have no money for this. It's not that at all. It's that God calls you to do works in Christ Jesus, and he's waiting for you that your promises will be fulfilled. He's waiting for you to come, to cash them in. So as you know, some of you know that I work at Park Community School, and I absolutely love it. I am having a wonderful time. I'm sleeping a lot, aren't I, Karen? I come home and I'm absolutely exhausted. And the reason why I'm exhausted is because not only am I giving out physically, I'm giving out spiritually. And I'm beginning to see fruit. And I am like, are you kidding me? So I'm going to do what I did with some of my students today with you. Can I pick on somebody? Or should I pick on somebody? Emma, can you come up? This is completely unscripted. It may not work. It may work. So, I'm going to tell you a story, and I might ask you some of the same questions. So, what I tend to do is I go to the classes, and I then got a list of people that God puts on my heart, or gives me dreams about them, or something happens, so I put them on my list. So I knock on the door and I see them, and I said, oh, is so-and-so here? And the teacher who's doing maths or English looks at me and goes, oh, Chris, I know you're good, but I'm right in the middle of English, right in the middle of maths. And they relinquish the students and they come with me. And they think, oh, it's going to be a good day because I'm with Chris. Little do they know, they're going to get pushed, right? And so, do you want to get comfortable? I feel like a bit, me just sit on the chair. I don't want you to feel. You sit there.
Feel even smaller.
But that's fine. I'll sit down too. I'll move these out of the way. So I say to them. You might need a microphone, because they're not going to hear your answer. We didn't even script this, did we? This is completely off the bat. So my preachers are dangerous, aren't they? So I say to them, who are you? So, Emma, who are you?
I am Emma.
Emma, that's a name your parents gave you. That's not who you are.
Child of God.
Oh.
That's who I am.
Thank you. Most people say their name. And then they say their age. Well, I'm Emma, and you're 21?
I'm 31.
And that just tells you that you've been on the planet 31 rotations of the sun. But that's not who you are. So I say to them, so looking at yourself, who you are, we say, this is my hand, and we say, this is my foot. So we can say, can't we, that you have a body. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Right. But you also have a mind, don't you? Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
So, Emma, the next time you go to pick a mix stand, the sweetie stand you get. Do not take a sweet. So the next time you go to a Pickens Mix stand, what are you going to think about?
Chris telling me not to take a sweet.
And that's a thought I've just put into her head. So that wasn't your thought.
No.
But my thought I gave to you. So not only do you know you have your own thoughts, you have somebody else's thoughts talking to you too. Which may be good or bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So you can have your environment, so your culture. So things you watch on TikTok or, you know, internet, media, family, culture. You've got your own thoughts and you've got your culture thoughts. Then you've got your fears. Now, they're not your thoughts. So your brain is not your friend. It's designed to keep you alive. Did you know that?
Yeah.
So if you do five things brilliantly and one thing badly, what are you going to remember?
The bad thing.
Because your brain's wired that way.
Yeah.
It's to make you remember, don't do that again. Because you could die if you do it again. Which is not your friend, because you can ponder on the bad thing over and over and over and over and over, and you wound yourself up and you get yourself really sad, you can even get yourself sick. What you've got to say is, time out. I've done five good things and one bad thing. And so you shut that down. Does that make sense? Because your brain isn't, your mind is not. So we know that you're physical, you got a body, and we know you've got a mind. Right? Cool. And you know your mind is not always your thoughts. It's people speaking to it. But also has your fears in it. Which is designed to have your fears in it. But you've got to keep them in contained. If you let your fears out, they could grow hugely. So you need to be active in your brain. The Bible says that. It says, make every thought captive. And if you're a Christian, you have a spiritual dynamic. And my students are beginning to understand. We're more than just my mind, aren't we? Are we, I say? What do you think about that? So what do you mean by that? And they go, I don't know. And so I then say to them, have you ever walked into a room and someone's just had an argument and you don't know that they've been arguing, but you walk through the room and you feel the atmosphere? And they go, yeah. I say, is that from your mind? They go, no. Is it from your body? And they go, no. So where's it from? And they go, I don't know. And I said, well, maybe it's your soul. Our soul was really weird. And the Bible says it's fought over and it's precious. Jesus says, what is a man that forfeits his soul to gain the whole world? You know, so that's how God sees your soul. He sees your soul bigger than the whole world. And that sounds like to me that we can forfeit that. It sounds like our soul's fought over. That's a thought. And my students are like, I don't say the scripture bit, but I just say, so what do you reckon that is? And so, do you think you're soulful? And they go, what do you mean, soulful? I said, well, what do you think when you die? And they go, I don't know. And then they generally say, well, I don't believe in God, but I don't believe we just end. So where do we go then? Do your soul have something to do with it? Oh yeah, I think it has something to do with it. I said, but what has it got to do with it? Oh, I'm not quite sure. And so we talk about the soul. And then certain students who are on a journey of wanting a little bit more, and they've called me out being a Christian a couple of times, I said, do you think we're spiritual? Oh, what do you mean by that? I said, well, we have soulful and we're spiritual. And then we explain what spiritual can be. We talk about things that they understand, you know, and they have an idea. So do you think witches are real? Do you think spirits are real? Do you believe in ghosts? And they start to answer, well, if there's a negative, what's the positive? And then so they start to unpack this stuff. And we have all that in ourselves, in our journey. You know, it's the spirit. So we worship God in spirit and in truth. You can go now, Emma. Is that right? I don't want to put you on the spot. But so really, give a round of applause. But so it's really important to realise that we have four elements to us. I think we have four elements to us. We have body, which we see. We have a mind that we think. We have a soul. Our soul's quite funny. Our soul was a bit like, I'm in bed, it's raining, and I've had a really hard week, and I don't fancy going to church. That's your soul. Your soul was like, you know what? I want to be comfortable. I want the easy road. We're all like that. All of us are. Even me. There's days. Actually, I can go into worry, actually. So I'm the other way around. I'm more like I can be on the treadmill of striving. So if I don't turn up, I feel it's all going to fall apart. So I get pulled the other direction. Still soulful, whether it's that way or the other way around. But your spirit is like over here going, hello, hello, I'd like to worship Jesus. And I can't go unless you decide to go. And your soul's like, can't be bothered. And your body's like, well, I'm not even engaged. I'm just sitting here, fancy a cup of tea. Bacon sandwich would be good. And your mind is like going, what's on TV? Got to make sure I've got all the presents sorted out. And your spirit is, your spirit's like, I really would like to worship Jesus. And so in the end, you're actually, well, I better go. It's the last one, it's Christmas. I'd like to turn up. I'm going to turn. So you manage to get here. So we get here, we sit down, so the body sits down. So the body has to go. The body's got to be engaged with it. So the body's got to come. The mind's probably thinking about lots of other things. Sits down. And they're like, okay, cool, right, fine. Does Chris really think those shoes go? Seriously. What's he thinking about? And Steve's wearing some tinsel. What's all that about? And then Anne and Sue's standing up, and then they start talking about worship. Worship? What worship? Oh, and the Spirit's going, this is what I'm here for. I want to engage with Jesus. And so your body's like, well, fine. Then your soul's like, oh, my goodness, everyone's going to watch me. Everyone's looking at me. I'm going to go at the back. Maybe I can stand next to Adam. I'm not quite sure. And then your spirit's like, I just really want to worship Jesus. And so in the end, the body stands up and says, okay, I'm going to put my hands up, but no one better see. And so I just do this. And your spirit's like, come on. And what happens is your body and your mind and your soul are just getting shunted into line. And your spirit's going, thank you. And you start to declare the goodness of God. And then the soul goes, flippin' heck, that's amazing. Wow, I needed that. Why don't I come here every week? I needed that. And then the mind's like, wow, God's more than just like, you know, knowledge. I can feel him in my body. Your body's like, your body's going, whoa, what was that? What was going on with that? Did you feel that just then? And that's the Holy Spirit working through your body. You go, well, what's supposed to happen with this? And then you have this moment, and then you feel at the end of it, lighter, and you've encountered God. And you feel like, wow, I feel a bit transformed. I feel washed. Now, that's a journey that we go on every day. Because you can worship Jesus in the shower. You can worship Jesus walking the dog. You can worship Jesus doing the school run. You can worship Jesus in getting ready. You can just engage, push it aside, and say, your spirit says, I need a bit of Jesus every day, so don't starve me. Yeah? Transformed. But it's not just being blessed. It's not about just being blessed. It's about you having work to do. And God's got these promises, right? And you've got these promises, and God says, I'm waiting patiently for you to get it, because you've got to connect and you've got to activate. Now, I'm going to tell you some of the things I've noticed over the last month. Betty comes to our weekly prayer meeting every week, except if it's raining. And she'll come in, and she tries to apologize coming in late. I'm sorry, Betty, but I'm not the same age as you. And I looked at you walking the other day, because I was going the other direction, wasn't I? And you were like literally dedicated. You were like, Chris, don't stop me. I'm walking. I'm going. Don't talk to me. I'm just going there. But wait, quick wave. And off you go. And I'm just thinking, you were single-mindedly fast-tracking it to the prayer meeting, right? Then she comes in, and for some reason, you like to apologize that you're coming in late. Dude, you set off before I did. So you're not late, your journey's longer. That's all it is. Does that make sense? So it's getting there. And then Betty then testifies about what God's done in her life. And we are all super encouraged. And Betty's encouraged because she has to what? Speak it out. Speaking out your testimony so we all can hear makes Betty grow and us rejoice. If God has done something in your life, do not keep it a secret. Why? Because we need to grow and you need to grow. And if you don't tell us what God's been doing in your life as something remarkable, us as a body go like, is God around at the moment? Has he done anything incredible? As a body, we need to hear it. And you need to do it. Does that make sense? So if God, I don't care what it is. I don't care if you lost your car keys and you prayed and God said, I prayed, Chris, and I turned the cushion over and I found it. Someone might say, oh, that's just coincidence. Well, isn't it funny when you pray, coincidences happen? Does that make sense? As a body, we need to hear it. So if you don't activate what God's done for you, we don't get blessed and you don't grow. So you need to get off your lovely bottoms and get your body in gear and your mind sorted out and all your emotions in line. And don't worry, because if you've not stood up the front and talked, you are going to feel nervous. But that's okay, because we love you. You know, and you don't wear clothes like me, so it's generally all right. Does that make sense? But you're going to say something that we're going to go like, come on! Does that make sense? Really important. Where was I? I have got... So... There's other people who I've seen the other day, and I'm going to call him out because I think he's going to like a name check. So Rowan, he's going to like a name check, so get him to listen to the talk. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Rowan did something beautiful that made me sing. He loved on us as a body to tell the whole body just how amazing we are. Yeah. And he did it with such articulateness that that wasn't being so articulate, and with no attitude. And I was like, come on! And it wouldn't have worked if one of the leaders had said it. But because Rowan said it, I was like, come on! And then I got to see how Rowan sees the family. And I was like, this is incredible! Right? Rowan comes to Open Home. He's about 100 foot tall. He comes in, didn't he, Karen? Came in and he was like, literally... Chris, did you read what I wrote? I went, Rowan, I did. I said, it's amazing. And for me, that gave me so much joy. And what I mean is that when you activate, when you get your mind and your body and your soul in structure with Jesus, we will be blessed and you will grow. It's really important that you know your people. And what I mean by that is you know your people. You know the people that you'll just hang out with and it just is easy. Louis comes around our house. He no longer asks to open the fridge. Apparently it's up to him what he wants to take out of our fridge. And then he sits down again. But that makes me feel comfortable. Does that make sense? We're his people. And you've got people like that. I mean, I don't ask Anne when I go around Anne Simon's house. I say, is that all the tea you got? Where's my tea? You know? You do buy me special tea. But do you know what I mean? When you find your people, meet your people. Because if you don't meet your people, you're going to feel no one loves you. And if you step back away from people, then you start thinking no one cares. And then your soul kicks in with all its insecurity. And your mind kicks in overthinking everything. That person looked at me that way. Funny. She really hates me. I knew she hated me. Probably because of the way I wear my clothes. Or do you mean? It's that whole thing. You overthink everything. But if you're with your people, you won't. Why is that? Because you feel that support. So when you're having your heart broken, they're not there to fix you. They're there to love you. Yeah? When you're skint, oh, I don't know, anything, then you think, actually, I want to help you. You know, I've got some people in the church who are incredibly generous. I mean, off the chart generous. And I'd like to say publicly, for myself and Karen, we have been so incredibly blessed over this last year. Financially. Thank you, Steve. I mean it. I just really want to say thank you. We could not pay our bills unless people gave us more than we earn. Things are changing in the area, but we want to say thank you so much. And I want to say publicly, you guys are incredibly generous. You know, having a place that we can go on holiday where we can just chill out, and we need to chill out on days. So I just want to say thank you for your generosity. Honestly, just want to make that public. Right, wrapping up. Sorry for being a bit long. Cool. Oh, can I just say this thing, which is really important? We all have identity, and it's really important to know who you are. So, Emma, it's like finding really important to know who you are. And Linda's given this book that's really annoying. I like this book, but it's really annoying, and you can't take it on holiday, can you, Sue, and just read it, because you've got to literally read it and take it in. It's not like you can easy flick. It's not an easy flick. It's a bit like, what? So one of the things is about your identity. And so what I found was I've really realised what my identity is in Christ. But I noticed a couple of times, sometimes when I try and say to people what my identity is, it's almost really hard to say it out. And I said to the Holy Spirit when I was walking back, because I spoke to Sue, I said, Sue, I really found my identity. She said, did you? What was it? And then I tried to say it, and I couldn't remember it. And I thought, that sounds really weird. And I asked the Holy Spirit, why is that the case? It's because every time you confess it, you're declaring it. And it's even a battle to confess it. So, that's interesting. So, unscripted, my identity is I'm a Holy Spirit-led pioneer who liberates people. That's who I am. I'm a Holy Spirit-led pioneer, and I have a passion to liberate people, whether you be Christian or not. And I've had words over my life, and I went through them the other day, 1980. Do you remember Charles Slagle?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, Charles Slagle came to the church, and one of the words he said over me was that you will... Well, one of the words beforehand was, I'd be able to hear God easily and clearly. And also, that I would be able to take leaps of faith over people in areas not seen spiritual but secular. And now I'm working in a school, declaring truth over people. And the kids are getting it. So I'm thinking, that's one of my promises. So... And I want you to know what Jesus said about the devil, about his identity. He said he's a liar and he's a father of lies and there's no good in him. When he speaks lies, he's speaking his native language. And he says he steals, he kills, and he destroys. That's his identity. So whenever you feel like some of your dreams have died, that's the enemy trying to work in your life. And you tell him to take a jump in the name of Jesus. Because that's not who I am. If he tries to drag you back into an identity that's not God called you to do, you rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And you get one of your people to come round and love on you and to stand with you and to encourage you to move forward. Does that make sense? I've got these little boxes. Kieran, could you pass one out? There's about 50 in here. Could you hand them up for us? No, you'd have to make them up first, but they're not easy to make up. And it comes, and if you can't see it, it's got a love heart in it. And it opens up like so. And what I wanted you to do is to write a promise, one of the promises God said to you. Put it in there. Close it up. And we're not boxing it up. What we're doing is it's actually asking God to activate it. And then you can put it on your side. And you can see it by your bed. Saying, that's the promise that God said to me. And then you can open it up, right? And then you can read it. And you can declare it who you are. Yeah? Beautiful. Shall I pray? Woo! I love you, Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for this family. Father, I thank you for this church family. I thank you, Lord God, for the richness of this family. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing of this family. I thank you for how this family has grown and how this family is growing, not just in number, but in maturity and in love and in compassion and in kindness and in grace and in joy and in fullness and in declaration and in worship. And we are an army, and you have called us to stand together, and you have called us to pray out, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray, Lord God, that we learn to pray that every day. Forgive us our trespasses, Lord, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, so, awesome. I think today's good. Listening to God, yeah, is key, and committing your day. I love the word intentional. It's only recently that I've become attached to it, but being intentional, I think, is good. Also, what's happening with these now? I know you're going to pick them up, but afterwards, I'm just planning ahead.
Go for it.
And I'm just excited about meat and veggies being pierced by the promises of God.
Oh, that sounds good. Should we do barbecue? Not the ones on the floor, though.
Yeah, well, they're just going to burn, aren't they?
That's true.
So anyway, cool. We have got tea and coffee. Simon sorted it out for us. And Sue, yep,
no,
awesome.
No, it was just there.
Yeah, everyone looks really settled. No one looks like they want to move. Do you want to carry on talking, Chris? Oh, no, they're moving now. Oh, yeah, don't forget the bananas, yeah?
Oh, thank you.
Whatever's left behind will go to the food bank, but don't let that stop you taking a... Is it called it? That's a hand of bananas, isn't it?
A hand of bananas, yeah.
Hand of bananas. Yeah. Take two hands. Right, thank you. Tea and coffee, socialise, bless each other.